The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Hey everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. Hey. Sometimes we're funnier than others, and sometimes we talk more about family than others. But, you know, we get into it. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I am a stand-up comedian and the host of this podcast, and I am alongside Stephen English,
that's
who
me.
Is a stand-up comedian and the producer of that, and doing a real silly voice with a Fonz motion he just did there.
Hey, it's me.
We have another couples episode today with Steve Hernandez and Julia Loken. If you guys want to give them a follow on all their social media, make sure you do. You can follow Julia on Twitter at Julia Loken, L-O-K-E-N, and Steve Hernandez at Big Hern, H-E-R-N. And then you can follow Steve on Instagram at Hernia. He's got solid handles on both of these things.
That's really good.
And Julia, again, is Julia Loken, J-U-L-I-A-L-O-K-E-N. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. I like anytime we can talk to a couple and get into it. As we do on this episode, we talk about, you know, relationship dynamics between them as well as their individual stories comedy and how they all go together, and also just kind of normal relationship stuff. Relationships are relationships, whether or not you're a comedian. So there's always things that I think people can relate to in there, but it is always, you know, particular to comedians, there's some interesting stories.
Some picadillos.
Mm-hmm. So we hope you guys enjoy this episode with the two of them. We are always... we love so much when you guys email us, and we have a couple emails that we want to answer their questions.
Yeah.
So we have four emails.
I haven't seen these yet, so
four emails. The first one in here is, "Hey Dustin and Steven."
Yes,
I love listening to your podcast each week. it is the perfect balance of funny and wholesome, but cynical and roasty.
Roasty.
And it makes me so proud to be a part of the mostly nice, but also a savage backseater community. I'm curious, though, how much of interviews and intros make it to the final cut of what we hear? Because I hear over and over in podcasts, you can edit that out later, right? Which obviously does not get edited out. The mess-ups and banter are some of my favorite parts. So what doesn't make it? Is that stuff that's boring, or is it stuff that's too far? As comics, how do you personally decide what's too far in comedy? Thanks for your time, and thanks for the entertaining content. That is from Elena Nardini. Elena Nardini. But that's no way to do that without being pretentious. But for the sake of saving you guessing, that's how you pronounce it. There you go. FYI, Elena, I crushed it on the first try before I looked at how you spelt it phonetically, which I also crushed the word phonetically. I'm a college graduate.
Just crushing stuff left and right, man.
Crush. That's the two questions there. We do not edit much out of this.
Not a lot.
I have to edit a lot of Steven's jokes because they miss.
Yeah. And a lot of, I also self edit a lot of my stutters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steven, it's mostly Steven content. It really bombs so hard. We've had two or three times where I'll be interviewing someone and then Steven will make his first comment of it and the guest will leave.
They just left. Yeah. That's
and
that one time. Smacked me on the way out, which was, I thought, a little too much.
We don't edit. If we had anything, because we're so ghetto, we have to try and edit background noise. A couple weeks ago, we had that episode with Kelsey and Kane where, no joke, there was like a fencing class going on
right above
us.
Yeah.
So we don't, we don't edit a lot. We put some bleeps in there. So you guys, if you want to listen to it around your kids, you can, but we don't. Now the second question on there. Oh yeah. Also sometimes we'll do it for time.
Yeah.
Because we like to keep it right around an hour or so.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything else that we edit. Sometimes there's some stuff because we are a clean podcast. We're like, eh, I don't know if we should put that
in
there.
I would say, yeah, I think maybe in like...
I'm such a square that most people don't like telling me those things anyways.
Right. You know? Yeah, they're going to tell on them. You're going to call their moms.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe 5 or 6 times we've edited stuff.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, there's not a lot. There's definitely not a lot in there. Mm. The second question is, you know, what's too far in comedy? Sure. What do you think about that?
Well, I think... you know, I guess, you know, you just try it. Yeah. You don't have to, I mean, sometimes you kind of can think of something and think, okay, that's not going to work. And even if you think it's something that's really, really, I told you a joke last week that I thought was really funny. And you, Kelsey, and Kane all looked at me like I was, you're like, no, don't, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't say that out loud. Sometimes you just have to say it and hear someone else give you the.
I think that. You know, comedy is one of those art forms that just, I think is like off limits. You can make make jokes about anything you want.
Yeah.
But be prepared.
Right.
For any percussions.
Right.
I mean,
right.
The stuff that Louis C.K. is doing, you know, when he came back in the leak set, which I think is bogus anyways. I don't think, you know, I was like, this is a, you know, it, to me, it lacked judgment and taste and tact. But if you're anywhere near Louis C.K., like his whole act always has. That's
been
who and what he is.
Like that Saturday Night Live monologue I could not believe that
again. So, if he's, I think he's a brilliant comedian.
Yeah, it was great. I couldn't believe that he did that on like network. So that's
but
like,
now that he has, you know, kind of all this shame around him, that he's earned,
rightfully.
you know, now there's even more judgment on those things, and and so just be prepared,
right?
You know,
it's gonna happen, especially now. It's gonna like, well, I mean, not for me,
I could
say whatever I want, and no one would remember me,
So to answer your question, I don't think there are any limits, but you can talk about anything you want, but be prepared in this world of where everything is being consumed to deal with it. I think that I don't like when people complain about comedians, but I also don't like when comedians complain about people being offended by their act. Like, well, you said it, you know, like you put your content out there.
Right.
You could have screamed this in the mirror.
Right.
To me, there's consequences. So,
yeah.
Second question is, what is your favorite rec center in San Diego? Which I thought, what a great question to get. What a fantastic question to get. And it's obviously the San Diego Croc Center. If you guys are anywhere in the central San Diego area, make sure you check out the San Diego Croc Center down on University. You can check out all that they have to offer at the sd.croccenter.org. Amazing programmings for kids, families, seniors. They got group exercise classes. They got pools. They got a fitness center. They got a full basketball court, of which I dunk on every Wednesday. Just clowning on fools. So check them out, man. And one of the great things, in addition to their very reasonable program and membership rates, is that they have the 2 hours of on-site play care.
Nice.
Where you can go in and they'll watch your kids with their friendly, well-trained staff while you go get your sweat on. Get your sweat on.
And that's Croc Center with the K.
Yeah.
If you don't go to the San Diego Croc Center with the C, because that's just full of...
That's going
to
take you straight
weirdly
to
full of alligators, which is weird.
And that's... shoes with holes in them. The third question, or a third of four, is this is actually just a nice email that we got. Just want to let you guys know, this is from Michaela Shipley. Let you guys know how much I appreciate your podcast. I love listening to humorous podcasts, but I listen while I'm watching my kids, and the language isn't always appropriate.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. I also admire that you are known by your acquaintances for your faith and that you do not shy away. Awesome example without being a podcast that is super faith-oriented. Thanks for being awesome. Also, I know identical twins freak you out, and then they sent me a picture of their twins. They love dancing to your intro song. There's a lot going on there, but man, twins do freak me out. Those are cute, but it's God's mistake. And that's why I'm not a faith podcast. I'm not a faith podcast because those are a snooze fest. And do I mean all of them? Yes, I mean all of them. Who wants to talk about one thing? I mean, we say we're a funny podcast about family, but we talk about everything.
Like, talk about a lot of stuff.
Listen, I like Jesus in the Bible and stuff, but I don't want to talk about it every week.
Right.
I ain't no pastor. Anyways, Michaela, thank you so much for sending that email. And our final question that we got is, what is your favorite spill-proof snack cup? And gosh, you guys just asked the best questions.
Guys are so
smart.
And
you know the answer.
Yeah.
Is Munchie Mug.
Munchie Mug,
M-U-N-C-H-I-E, mug.com, munchiemug.com, best spill-proof cup on the market.
Uh-huh.
I love it so much. My kids love it. They sing about it. Munchie Mug. They put goldfish in there. They put pretzels in there. They put grapes in there, whatever you want, and it all works, and none of it's spilling. You could kick it. We play soccer with it. We put the grapes in there. We play soccer with it. Nothing spills.
Not a one.
Not a one grape. Not one spilled grape. That's their other slogan.
Do you still got to cut them in half?
Are they, no.
They can eat the grapes.
No,
full?
The Munchie Mug cuts them on the way in. It's not true because it's soft. Those old ones would. They would obliterate your grape.
Yeah.
Not
smithereens.
The Munchie Mug. It just goes in there. It's like the grape lands on a soft little padding.
It loves it.
Many different styles, colors and stuff. You guys can check it out at munchiemug.com. And if you type in promo code "Don't Make Me," then you get 25% off your order in addition to your free shipping. Guys, thank you so much. Enjoy this episode. We appreciate you guys. Send us emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com and we'll read them if we like them. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Bye. I think between the two of you, you guys have like 7 podcasts each.
No, I only have the one.
You only have the one, but it's doing well, right?
Yeah, it's definitely, I feel like I definitely have had like an expedited podcast experience because it kind of took off quickly, so I got good at it quick.
That's great.
Yeah, I've been doing podcasts 9 years, and she's already made more money in 1 year of doing podcasts than I've ever made.
Yeah. I learned from the best, though. You know, I listened to a lot of podcasts. You know,
not the most successful, but the best.
Yes.
You're like Marino. You weren't winning titles, but, you know, you're still
great. I
have
the respect of my peers.
Which pays the bills. Yeah. But now do you have to, like, ask to be a guest on hers? Like you
They haven't asked us. They all have all their boyfriends. Her podcast, she didn't say, is called What's Your Sign? It's a big old astrology podcast.
Yeah.
But all the boyfriends are in comedy. So there's been talk of us doing an all boyfriends Patreon episode. So I think they're trying to throw us a bone that way, you know?
Well, so we don't... The only way that one of the boyfriends on the Self-Helpless podcast with Delaney, Taylor, and Kelsey could get on was to propose.
Yeah, I remember that episode. I remember that episode. I know.
So maybe that's how they're holding out.
I know. Well, could we work that out?
Yeah, we could work that out. We just have to figure out your birth time, and then you could come on.
My mom is like a real hardcore Christian, and she won't tell me what time I was born. Because she knows it's for witchcraft.
So, is that true?
Yeah, you need to know.
You have to know your birth time.
You have to know the time.
Yes,
not just
because you don't have to, but you do if you want to like know any like real astrological insights.
Okay,
because the time that you're born sets up the like horizon essentially of your individual chart.
Okay.
And that tells you...
So
like,
it's not as simple as being like, you're this.
No.
You're,
there's
like,
a lot...
That's your sun sign. That's what most people
yes,
like.
Yes, most people
know
just know
like,
their sun.
But you need to know it's what day you're born, where you were born, and what time you were born. And then you with those three things, somebody could look at your chart and kind of begin to interpret that and figure out kind of who you are more as a person.
Okay.
And that's why, like, a lot of times when you read your astrology, I don't believe this stuff, by the way.
Okay.
I don't not disbelieve. I don't disbelieve it either.
You kind of disappoint your girlfriend and your mom.
No. I don't disbelieve it either. But I can't put faith in it. Like, it doesn't matter to me. But, so a lot of times when you just read your sun sign stuff, that's why you're like, oh, that's not really me. But if you know the other things, then people could start to get pretty accurate. Like, I've seen them read charts, and it's, like, exactly spot on, like a psychic would do.
Really?
So, if you know all three of those things.
Okay.
So
the sun sign in that world is just very vague, like, broad strokes.
Well, it's just one piece of the puzzle, because your natal chart... You have, when you're born, the planets are in the sky for everybody, and whether you believe in it or not, they are moving and changing.
I believe in
so
planets.
There's, yes. So whether or not you believe in
that's
astrology.
That's a different podcast if I don't believe in planets. And a good one, I'm sure.
But the planets were in a specific place the moment you were born, whether you believe astrology or not. And so your natal chart is just where each of the planets were.
Yeah.
Each of the planets also represents a different kind of energy, a different facet of personalities and stuff like that. So when you look at those things together, they kind of make up a person. Sure. And then the rising sign, which is why you need to know your birth time, like, is the, if you're, it's sets up your house system. Mm-hmm. So like your house, think of it as like your house in a neighborhood. Like you live here and then this person is across the street. So you're going to have a different relationship with them than you are going to have mm-hmm. with someone who lives like five houses down.
Right.
So it gives you just specific areas of life that are going to be influenced by things.
My question on astrology, because what I, you know, I studied religion. That was like what I studied in college, but not like in a Christian school where they give you all the answers of like, here's Islam and here's why it's wrong. Like,
I mean,
like,
Dustin, you still love Christ, don't you?
I'm still on the team.
Yes, yeah. I knew it.
Yeah. But I, you know, but I like, but where I studied, it wasn't like, you could go to Christian colleges and they would call it apologetics.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, this is the defense of the faith, which is probably, I think, more of a world that you were in than I was ever in.
Yes.
And so, like, I understand most faith systems, like, from a why standpoint, or, like, what you said, Steve, I think is interesting, is, like, I don't put my faith in it. Well, I guess what I don't understand in astrology, and I understand this on most faith systems, my questions is the, okay, so those circumstances put together who you are, but why? So why do those planets on that date or that time affect you?
Okay, here's the first.
And you can't just say God. No, that's what we do on my team.
No, because the first thing is astrology is not a religion. It is not something to put your faith in. Okay. It is a context for which to interpret.
But it's not. You wouldn't call it a science.
It's not a. It's a soft science. It's
a soft science.
They call it like a scientific art. Or something, because there is interpretation to it. There is, you know, that sort of thing. But it is also scientific in the sense that they do they measure angles and calculations and how degrees of things and those things change.
Okay.
But it's more of a taking the universe's, the society's temperature for when mm-hmm. you're trying to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about the ways that your just like differing energies in your personality, how they're going to interact and how someone outside of you also might provoke things in you and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's less
the power system is the universe.
Yes. The power system is whatever.
And you're just trying to figure out in astrology, okay, what the universe gave you based on your chart.
Yeah. I find it more helpful for like, revisiting things, not as like a predictive thing, one because I'm not like I don't know how to do that at this point really.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of though, but it's more like looking at, I mean like real therapy and stuff too.
Well, it's,
you know?
Funny that you say that, because that what I hear you saying is what reminds me of what therapists do, which is, but they don't, none of it starts until you're born, unless there's like trauma in the wound, you know. It's like, it's not,
well,
when you're born, it's
your...
like, well, what was your dad doing when you were born and what happened?
Well, and you know, that's why I say it doesn't, and I don't think it's like hogwash. I just think of it as, to me, it's just like looking back at a thing, and mm-hmm. to me, it doesn't really matter.
Mm.
Like how the place where I'm going to respond from is a place, I guess I have like a Zen way I'd like to look at life. So no matter what is happening to me or the energy's changing or everything like that, mm-hmm. I need to respond from a place of integrity, I feel like. Yeah.
Whereas Julia, you're just pure mood ring.
No, I'll just
say, what emotion am I feeling right now? Oh, I'm sorry. This is a ring pop. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I will say this is that, it does help, she'll talk to me about people if we're talking about our friends, our different relationships we have, and then if she knows their charts and everything, then it is an interesting way to figure out that, oh, we're all just, nobody, for the most part, most people aren't wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We're just communicating differently.
Right.
And we hear things differently and feel things differently. And so if you
it's like a tool.
Yeah, yeah. It's a
cheat code
it's
for
like
how
an,
to...
It's like an enneagram.
Yeah,
you know?
It's the exact same thing. That's what everyone like
plus,
paints it as this thing.
Plus
with,
gypsies.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I guess our PR witchcraft. Our PR isn't as good or as better than
everybody's. Listen, if I throw you into water, are you going to sink or float? That's
I don't know. Let's try it out. No, but that's how...
let's baptize you right now. That's
I am also baptized. My dad used to be a pastor. So
oh, okay.
I'm safe. I'm not burning. I'm not going to burn anywhere. But well, that when I ever think about it, I think it's also just interesting when people aren't interested in astrology, because it's like, you know, it's just cheat codes for how to deal with people, really.
To understand yourself and other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, if you don't want to, like, get your way more often, then, yeah, you definitely shouldn't be interested in astrology.
So it's power.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, that's a very honest answer.
Not just that.
So you guys both grew up in religious families. Your parents...
Yes, but my parents weren't... We started going to the church that I went to because some neighbor took us to a VBS.
Yeah.
So just like, yeah, that classic, like, saving your neighbors.
How old were you?
I must have been six or seven.
Do you have siblings that went to the
whole thing? Yeah, my younger brother went. Okay. My younger brother's a year younger than me. And yeah, I remember going to VBS and then somehow this neighbor wrote my mom into going to, and then that's the church we grew up in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I remember...
You guys were the success story as far as the VBS goes.
Yeah, as far as reaching out and everything. I remember my mom, one of my earliest memories being like 3 or 4 years old, I remember my mom going to this, like, at the time we lived in Lincoln Heights, Highland Park area in L.A., and I remember her going to this, like, house church, and that the kid there had a lot of toys. There's pictures of my mom was obviously chasing God or Christ or something from around that time, and so whenever we moved to West Covina, and so as soon as that lady roped us in, she roped my mom in as well. And so that's where we stood. And that church that I grew up in became a mega church. And that's where I ended up becoming a minister.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, now, was dad around?
Yeah. My parents didn't get divorced until we were like 18. But it was kind of rough. He was like an alcoholic, or is, I guess, until he stopped drinking when I was like maybe 11. But it was like a pretty effed up, like, family, like, situation. Right. So even when he stopped drinking... He was still real angry, real dry drunk and stuff. But him and I get along. We're going to the movies on Thursday now.
Like every Thursday?
No, this Thursday. we get along now, so he would go to church and sometimes, and he would say, whenever I've gone off and done something weird, like if he found out that, you know, I was into polyamory. I remember he found out about that at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And my ex and I had a girlfriend, and my dad, like, found out about it. And then he was like, I've been praying for you, son. I've been on my knees. I'm like, what is this coming from? Pray? What is this thing? So he's very, like, old-fashioned where God, that kind of old-fashioned Latino man where God's just always kind of there, I guess. But I don't know how much he listens to Christ or the teachings of Christ or anything.
Right. It's just kind of there almost culturally.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But then him and your mom divorced when you were in high school?
Yeah, 18.
Yeah, how was that?
Those
later year divorces can be hard because you understand what's happening.
Yeah, you know, it was rough too because I was by that point a pretty hardcore Christian.
Mm.
And my mom divorcing my dad, and my mom was going to church, that to me, I was like, oh, you're not supposed to get divorced.
Right.
You know? And I knew he wasn't hitting her by that point. I mean, he was before, but that was years ago, 8-7 years ago. And so to me, it was like a real, like, I was pissed at my mom.
Mm.
And then my dad started acting crazy enough, so then I kind of, like, didn't talk to my dad for a little while, too. So, yeah, I guess that was a pretty jacked up time to have your parents get divorced.
No, it doesn't sound normal.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's like 18, too. You're also, like, just transitioning out of, like, starting. That's, like, the foundation of starting your own kind of adult journey.
Well, you know what's really messed up about it? I've never talked to this any podcast. You're getting some really exclusive stuff right here. Is that when they split up, it was very tumultuous. So yeah, yelling and stuff. But my mom told my dad, like, you got to find your own place. I'm going to stay here with the kids. So my dad left. And then at some point, it was like raining and wintertime, and there was leaks in the roof, and my brother and I came home from school. So we were like seniors and juniors, and my mom was like, how are you letting this happen? You're men. You should be, like, watching out for us. I was like, we don't know how to roof. I was like, what are you talking about? But she was just, my mom has just until very recently had a very, she's had a rough life, so I don't want to say this loosely, but she's very much felt like a victim in a lot of ways. But, like, she's gotten so much better. And if I told you what happened to my mom, all the stuff, it'd be like, God, jeez, that's terrible.
She was a victim.
She was in a lot of ways a victim. But her lashing out at us, we were like, jeez. So that was like some. And so finally, then my mom moved out, and then my dad moved back in to the house with me and my brother.
To fix the roof. You can live under this roof as long as it doesn't leak.
And then he wouldn't let us leave. Like, he would just talk to us about the divorce for hours on end. And then we just moved out eventually. So as soon as high school, As soon as my younger brother graduated high school, we moved into a one-bedroom apartment, me and my brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here it was time to go.
Yeah.
How long did they continue to live together?
They didn't. Okay. When he moved in, she moved out.
Oh, I see. Something like that.
Yeah. yeah, it was so funny because after I quit, you know, my mom got a two-bedroom place for her and my sister in Covina near the Chatterbox. And I quit being a minister. My brother got out of the Marines at the same time. And so we would just go sleep on our couch. And it was like just a little condo, like the bedrooms upstairs, living room downstairs. But my brother and I would sleep on the couches. We would go drink like every night. And we'd sleep on the couches. Mm-hmm. And we'd just party like four or five times a week with jobs. And then like 5 or 6 months into that, my mom came down and said, God told me you guys have to move out. I can't argue with the Lord.
Yeah. Your dad's like, I've been praying for you.
No, we just got our own place again. So, I'll never forgive God for that.
Did he kick you out?
Yeah.
Come on.
She's like, came from all the way upstairs.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've talked at length about this, but was there... You know, because I also quit being in ministry, though.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. So I was in, I was a paid Christian for 7 years.
Yeah, paid Jesus.
Yeah. That's the main reason that I got out of it is I didn't like being professionally Christian.
I know, it was rough. I remember I had a pretty big volunteer staff because...
What was your role? What'd you do?
So I was, when I was 19, that was the first year my church had a... interns. Mm-hmm. Like we went to Willow Creek and we checked out how they did the purpose-driven church stuff basically. And we came back and I was an intern. And then after that year was up, the junior high pastor left. I became the junior high pastor.
There you go.
The next
there's only a couple groups you were old enough to pastor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like I remember junior high.
Yeah. I mean, I was literally 20. It's so funny. I bartend now and some of those kids come in to the bar now and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember when you were 14 and I was 20. It's like nothing now. High school pastor left. I was a high school pastor for a year. And then finally, the student ministries director left. And then I was over everything. But I remember.
So it was student ministries.
Yeah, I had maybe 50 like volunteer staff across all of the things. And I remember like not guilting them, but just asking more and more of them.
Yeah.
And at some point, my friend John Gove, who's a good guy. But he was just like, hey, man, you're getting paid for this. You know, the rest of us have to. Other stuff we have to do.
Yeah.
And you can't make us feel guilty about it or anything like that. It always bothered me.
Yeah, I remember having that realization because I did youth and then I did kids ministry stuff. And we had like a big old kids ministry, like 500 kids. It was massive.
Wow.
Bunch of volunteers too. And you just keep asking and asking and asking. And then I reflect back on it and I was like, yeah, those people had lives. Like they had jobs and like the idea that they would come once or twice a week and then I'd ask them to do more meetings and stuff like that, you're like, no, you got to go do that yourself, bro. You got to do as much as you can. You're paid to be here.
Yeah, which is something I admire about the Latter-day Saints setup is that they don't have anybody paid through anything there except for like the upper echelons. But everybody's volunteers, so not one person is – I've from what I understand, it's not – driven too much by any like a cult of personality.
Not even their like minister guy or that guy.
No.
No.
They're like elected.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so everybody kind of shares the burden more. Mm-hmm. And they demand that you donate the tithe more. So that's pretty cool. So there's more money to go.
That helps. Yeah.
Which is why I'm a Mormon.
I mean, the temples are so nice.
I grew up with from the so outside. Many Mormon friends.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're just baptizing the dead houses. On the inside.
They're always super rich.
Yeah.
But
the Mormons are consistent. You really did quit because of that?
I did not that specifically. I was a part of a big church that eventually demised, but the we left before it did. I didn't, and then I kind of went and helped a friend plant a church, but I just didn't like being professionally Christian. I didn't like feeling like my doubts or struggles would show up in a job review. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I would just sit down and I'd be, you know, because I was in pretty conservative environments, especially, and I was like, well, what if I don't agree with this? What if I think women should be pastors? And it's like, oh, well, you get fired. What? I don't like that your beliefs and your job go hand in hand.
And you must have been young as well, too. So you're wrestling with your faith.
19-year-old intern, you know, same idea. And what we, you know, our Christian life looks entirely different than it did back then. Even though we were, you know, we're still Christians and we still go to church, the things that are our priorities and are, you know, as far as giving and volunteering and the type of church that we're in is completely different than it was before. When you're young, it's like big and sexy and cool. Like the band's great and the preacher's funny and all this is so cool and it's growing and numbers. And then when you get a little older, you're like, oh, none of this matters. We're just doing this for each other. You know what I mean? Not that I think all big churches are bad, but like a lot of it is just you're putting on a concert every week for each other.
Yeah.
And I grew pretty tired of that.
Well, you know?
And I think that's all because I was a scorpion, honestly. I think
maybe
Scorpio. I said scorpion.
I like scorpion.
Scorpion.
I shoot an arrow at you.
We'll figure it out. Well, the unfortunate thing is that your questioning of and wrestling with faith is what actually probably makes you good leaders for faith things, but those are not qualities that are cultivated in religious institutions.
Doubt
in
isn't
Christianity.
Yeah, doubt isn't valued. Well, I would say especially in modern Christianity.
Modern day evangelical Christianity.
And it's certainly not valued in the pulpit. You know, whereas on a lot of Christian matters, I'm borderline agnostic. Not in God, but on certain matters where I just go, I don't know. Like, I'm so content on I don't know. And I think that if I wasn't, it would be much harder for me. But somebody's like, how old is the earth? I'm like, I don't know. There's a lot of smart people on both sides. And I go, you know, I used to think it was this, and sometimes I think it's this. And I think that helps. But it also, I didn't grow up in, I think it was less emotionally complex for me because I didn't grow up in a religious environment. And so I don't hear, in addition to my own voice or my old religious leaders' voices, I don't also hear parental voices kind of guiding. And I think when I see people turn away more and more, like maybe like not turn away, but like leave kind of altogether, a lot of time it happened when it was a very religious home in addition. Does that make sense?
Yeah. My dad was a pastor. And so I think that made me actually be like, oh, church is bogus from the get-go.
Right.
Like, if my dad's in charge of this place.
And so my kids feel about comedy.
Yeah. It's like, oh, if he can do it, then anybody can. There's no way this is cool. But I think it gave me kind of like a behind-the-curtain look. And so the idea, and my dad's also a Lutheran minister. Both of my parents were like religion majors also. So it was very like intellectual.
Lutherans are smart.
Christianity too. They like went and they fell in love in Jerusalem and did all these things. It's very, very sweet.
Love story.
You know, that old tale.
Christian spring break.
Yes, exactly. But the idea, I didn't ever feel it in any kind of like, I don't want to say like real moral thing, but I was like, yeah, you go to church. This is what you do. This is like dad's job. You go, this is what you do on Sundays.
I've never sensed that she has any like kind of connection to like God. I don't mean that in any like weird way, but in any kind of Christian God or anything. I've never got that from her.
Lots of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a very honest answer. You're like, I'm not getting signals. I'm not hearing anything.
It's not even that. I think I've always just been very comfortable with the idea of like, oh, it's not, none of us is right and none of us is wrong or whatever, but it's like God is bigger than this
like
church.
Like a true pagan.
Truly, yeah. But it was just that, I remember the idea of someone like actually believing the Bible as like literal thing. I was like, you guys, it's like stories. That's not what they really mean. But then also that's very terrible to hear coming from a precocious child. So I get why it didn't catch on.
And you're like, but the planets that.
And also church people are some of the worst people in the world.
It's
so
usually our worst,
was
a defense in a lot of ways. If you're like, oh yeah, Christians, light
but
of the world.
People.
You're like,
and you're like, how are they?
Yeah, that's and Christians, we always use the same thing. Well, like all people are bad. It's like, well, the whole idea of your faith is that you're supposed to be a little different. Like, and that's what they would talk to you in youth group. Steve's preached this sermon 100 times. I get it. Let your light
shine.
Crazy
when the Matrix dropped, bro. when I was watching the Matrix, I was like, oh. These kids aren't even going to know what hit them. And then when The Matrix 2 came out, I'm like, I'm ready. I was like, I got a whole series lined up. And then right, like they have sex during a rave, like in the first 10 minutes. I was like, oh, man, I'm not going to be able to do anything with this.
I can't show any of these clips during my sermon. Go back to U2 songs. That's so funny. I guess we're going to have to watch A Walk to Remember again. Yeah, I think that's a, you hear that take a lot of just like, and it's like the fairest critique, especially like, you know, I think the, you know, when I do read the Bible, I make it sound like I don't do that. When I do read the thing, kind of your point, like the group that like Jesus was always consistently hard on were like the religious hypocrites. And so like that the world's full of them should be scary, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and more nice people who I'm like, I'm not sure. Like, I think Jesus seemed to be consistently kind to them more, and where he'd go trash the church or the temple or whatever, you know?
Yeah. And this, I do feel some sort of, I don't know if resentment is the right word. But especially cause we do comedy and people joke so much about like getting rid of their religious background and things like that, or like how it still haunts them, and yeah. I'm like, I get the jokes, but I also have none of the like emotional issues to mine for anything, so it feels like pointless to
To me it's almost hack at this point. Like, I was just like, I get it, I've heard it, you know, like unless you're gonna do something interesting with it, which there's plenty of great religion and anti-religion jokes, but that was that fun thing on Last Comic, the last season they had, when remember someone did some anti-Bible joke and Roseanne's like, you're so brave, and Norm MacDonald's like, no.
Yeah.
And what would be brave and different is you came out here saying you do believe in the Bible. That would be something unique and different, you know. Well, what do you guys think about that? I wonder, because how long have you guys been together?
Four years.
Yeah.
And so when you guys think about, like, because we were talking earlier about family stuff. So I have kids, and, you know, you kind of have to actively think about, like, okay, what do you believe and what do you hope to pass on, whether it to, like, friends or children? Like, do you guys want to get married, have kids, do that whole thing? And if so, what's the plan there? What do we think? Are you going to make sure you chart what time they're born, or not tell them what time they're born? Or what's
No. Well, in astrology, you're not supposed to, you can like look at your kid's birth chart, but you're not supposed to.
What do the stars say about us? I'm sure you have some. The thing is, she won't, unless she gets very drunk, she won't tell me about like what's going on astrologically. but you've got to have stuff you're not telling me.
I don't know your house system, so I have theories about it.
Okay.
But we do have auspicious placements, and I think that we both have things in our chart
placements. That I'm sorry, I can't let that sit.
No, meaning like.
Steve just yawned for the record.
If you are looking at compatibility, first and foremost, anyone can be compatible with anybody. It's not any sort of like, oh, you can't be with someone, but you're a Leo and they're a Scorpio, you can't be together. That's not real. Just like someone saying, I don't date comedians is right. Equally not real. It's,
yeah,
you can,
but you shouldn't. That one checks out,
sure.
Honestly.
But it's like...
Well, that's like you shouldn't date anyone at your work. But mm-hmm. You might fall for someone, and then let's sure. Take it from there.
And if you
we
are
have
going,
no HR department.
Yeah,
so it's
and
sexy.
Then if you do, how do you handle that in a way that's going to make sure that you both feel, like, cared for, so you're not going to f*** up your work situation? Mm-hmm. It's that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. When you're looking at compatibility, you look at usually, like, your moon sign and your Venus and your Mars. Those are how you, like, feel what you believe the purpose of love is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at how those things kind of, that's like a general, like if these things line up, then that area is probably going to be fairly smooth, or sometimes that's a bad thing. Sometimes that's a very unchallenging relationship where it's like you get along too well. And so that doesn't lead to anything. But our planets, we have some that are a little bit at odds, but the main ones are in
good
auspicious
news, Steve. It's good news.
But more importantly,
thank God.
More importantly, I think that both of us have charts that are there to like supplement each other's lessons or whatever. Recently I had that kind of like realization that I'm like, oh yeah, like your chart is like what you're supposed to learn in this lifetime. Like these are the challenges that you're gonna need to overcome, or these are the like kind of like, I don't want to say defects that you're given, but like these are shortcomings that you're gonna have to like either find another person out there to like bring them out of you, or cultivate yourself, mm-hmm. or things like that. So I think that we have charts that are conducive to supplementing each other.
I've been married before, mm-hmm. so I don't like I'm not like jazzed about the institution of marriage.
Sure.
But her and I negotiate it and talk about it all the time. about what I would need to be married and these kind of different things, and that I don't believe in forever. That idea doesn't, I mean, it just absolutely does not. I don't buy it at all.
What do you mean forever?
Like, if we were to get married, we're going to stay together. I'm going to fight so that we stay together forever. To me, that idea, it sounds ludicrous to me. Mm-hmm. I don't like the idea of that. It bothers me.
Yeah.
But she's also countered that, you know, she believes that the institution of marriage is imperfect as well, but that's the best we have right now.
Mm.
So it's the highest, most imperfect thing we have right now to profess our love to each other and our commitment towards each other.
Right.
So that, I mean, that makes sense to me too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we'll see. I'm almost 2 months sober. And I've been like, I put together like a year and a half before. So I'm like pretty like, I'm like thrown back into Christianity basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a big part of me that's like.
What do you mean by that? Like,
you're well, because the like, steps and everything.
Right.
Like
I'm working
the program and everything.
Oh, there you go.
So to me, I'm like I said, I've done that. I did it like 6 years ago for like a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really buy too much then. Or I was like, all right, I get it. Or I'm not really an alcoholic. I believe I'm fully an alcoholic now. And the steps and everything look like, I'm like, no. And not even the basic ones where you have to, like, ask people for forgiveness. But there's step six says, like, that you're willing to hand over, like, all your defects in character. Mm. And I'm like, no way, man. I like a lot of these, a couple of these defects. I love them.
Mm.
But maybe I will have to. All that to say is that right now, because I'm in recovery and doing a lot of alcohol AA stuff, we're not supposed to talk about it, by the way, but I'm just talking about it. it is like having kids and getting married and stuff does make a lot more sense than it did a year ago.
Okay. So, like, it's just from like a structure standpoint?
Because I believe that ultimately, you know, that love is about giving and sacrifice and everything. And I do believe that becoming the best version of yourself, if those are the highest highest qualities you can be as a person, that those will come forth with kids and in family and committing to someone for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I think that marriage and kids, that as far as personal development, like if you're striving to do it in any way that's good, it's the denial of self. It's I have to do something that I don't want to do for the good of somebody else, which is the highest form of humanity.
Yeah.
It's the very, and is the core message of a lot of faiths, including Christianity.
Yeah.
And is a lot of the core message of AA.
Yeah. Which is, it's funny because the idea of Christ has always kind of bothered me even when I was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always loved God, and I like the God of the Old Testament.
I like Christianity except the Christ part.
Not Christ. I like the God of the Old Testament a lot. It makes sense.
Oh, it's so funny. Yeah. I don't hear any.
I know people usually flip
that's
it.
That's a take you don't hear a lot. I love that Sodom and Gomorrah thing. Evil burn.
Well, I like to, I mean, I think if you look at God chronologically, which a lot of people don't, most people put God over space and time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Bible makes a lot of sense if you look at it chronologically, because God is this all-powerful being, not all-loving, all-powerful being. And that's why he's like, right away, he's just killing things. He's like, I do not get these people. I told them specifically not to do these things. So it makes sense that God in like Genesis chapter 3 murders the planet.
Because
he's like, I told them.
Yeah.
And you see him. But if you look at God being in time, like this is the first time he's been experiencing people or things that had lesser power than him or forming relationships and stuff. You see that he grows if you look at the Bible.
So that God changes.
That he changes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now that's blasphemous to some people. But that's a God that makes sense to me.
Hmm.
And it's also a God, well, hey, I'm all powerful and I like the idea of I made the earth how it is. And I mean, just you have to deal with it.
Hmm.
That makes sense to me, too. And these are all very like, I think, like Jewish ideas, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that wrestling with the ideas of God is that God's in the presence of us when we do these things. I think God's right here, right now. I don't believe in a person of God or anything, but I believe that's God is a metaphor for something that we don't understand.
Mm.
And I believe that because we're talking about him right now, that God's here right now.
Mm. I think that anything, any faith system that is devoid of wrestling through your ideas is one that is going to end badly. And I think that you see that in the systematic structures that evangelical Christianity tries to put on people, which is, this is it. You have to believe this. These are our creeds. This is our doctrine. And even if those are true, because I do believe in an absolute truth, but I don't believe that I know it. You know, and I remember having this realization of like, just how lucky did I have to be that the first church I ever went to was right about everything, right about every single thing, right about God, right about Jesus, right about all of them were right. I'm the luckiest human ever, you know, that I just have to, all the things in the camp that I landed on are perfect. So anything that's devoid of wrestling is almost like useless to me.
Well, that's,
you know?
I think that was my problem as a kid too, as someone who was a very, like, I say precocious, but that's a very, that's a big word for like annoying only child for most of the time. But like the idea that you couldn't ask questions like that, or that there wasn't room for anything other than, because I agree with everything that Steve just said. And I think that that is like implied in everything in Christianity really, but it's subtext, it's not literally what's there. But it's like, yeah, if you, it's just so, it's so, I don't know, it makes it, that makes so much more sense to me than anything else, and the idea of limiting anything to one specific thing. That I know it's kind of like a cliche thing, but the idea that God would even be a thing that we could fathom in our brains is is ludicrous, because it's like, we know how a light bulb works, but do we no, you don't. Like, that, it's some stuff isn't meant for us to know. You're just supposed to
That's
be like
the old
grateful.
Kyle Kinane, but he's like, I can't understand religion. I don't understand how my microwave works. Yeah. Like, I could open it and there could be a little wizard in there, and that makes as much sense to me as the actual science.
And you're like, I'm glad it's there and I appreciate that. But it's not for me to know. Mm-hmm. That doesn't, yeah.
All that to say is, I don't know if we're getting married.
I think the indecisive that you had to wrestle with the idea.
Yeah.
No, but I guess that was what I was trying to say too. The idea, marriage to me has never been, and I also have never been married, so that's
Do you think
different.
There's just like some natural kind of rebellion there against the institution again, of like, this is what I was raised in, this is what my dad said, and this is what the church preached, and it's like, I don't. You know, I don't, that's not for me.
I don't know. I've never had like a one idea of what marriage looks like either. Mm. To me, that's why it's very much like a marriage does not mean forever to me necessarily, in the sense that like we're just, that's the end of it. That to me, that's like, yeah, we're together forever until we realize that this isn't a thing that we should do anymore. Mm. If there's ever a point when it's like, oh, we shouldn't do this, or this isn't,
it's like you're
working,
getting married for now.
Yeah. And then it's like, if there comes a time that it's not, then yeah, of course, then yeah, duh, don't be married anymore. but
who is this
I don't,
for?
Yeah. But then I think that the idea of like, again, commitment, and with going into something with the intention to not give up on a thing and to and to do your best to be committed to a thing, obviously sometimes your best doesn't matter and it just doesn't work, and there's some, you know, those types of things exist absolutely in any marriage and religion and anything, but I think it's like, let's not set it up that way, don't make it so easy for you to not like work at it and grow you know, learn things.
Did your folks stay together? You said your dad was a pastor.
Yeah, my parents have been married. It's 40 years this year.
Are they happy?
Yes, but they have not had an idyllic marriage by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay.
And they fought a ton when I was a kid, and they've both worked really hard and on themselves and on their relationship, and so I mean, I don't know, there's definitely a part of me that's like, you guys probably should have just gotten a divorce.
But they prevailed.
I think that it's just about making a choice, and they could have, I'm sure, been happy getting a divorce and finding other people, or not finding other people. Like, that would have just been a different choice, but they made this choice, and I think that there are gifts in either thing. So
well, Julie, as we discussed earlier, if you want Steve to propose, you just got to get him on the podcast. So
get that WYS date. Save the date. They'll send that to you.
How are Julie? How are things with your folks now? Are you guys?
like with my relationship with them.
Yeah, with your relationship with them.
I have a
with the faith stuff and the relationship stuff and all that kind of stuff.
I have a fine relationship with them. I only hesitate because I don't think that we have a I don't know. It's we have a close, good relationship, but I think that we still hold each other at like arm's length to a certain degree, just because I had because of like past trauma and things like that.
And maybe differing ideologies.
Yeah, but they're
still... like super like liberal. Like, yeah. They've seen my comedy and
they're into it.
Yeah, they like it.
Yes.
And I talk about crazy stuff. So
yeah,
I guess I only hesitate to say
I followed you for a whole weekend at Madhouse.
Yeah, they've seen.
Here's some jokes about my kids.
Yeah, they love him. They love his comedy. I think they're just like too supportive. They've like swung back that way.
Interesting.
That's where I'm like,
he's not still a pastor.
No, they still are involved in their church.
Okay.
And it's like a cool...
They're just not maybe wound as tight as they once were?
No, they've never been like particularly tight. I think it's more... That's like why my dad stopped being a pastor in the first place, is because he would try to like... He would believe people when they say they wanted to like change things up, but they people only want to change things up to a certain degree.
Right.
So
yeah.
He just kind of would be a rebellious pastor, or that kind of thing. Like, would bring in a new assistant pastor that people didn't like, or would like start opening up in other ways. So
that's
it's kind
church,
of the
that's church staff rebellion. It's pretty edgy stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So they've never been particularly like uptight about anything in those regards. But
so you're like close ish.
Yeah.
There's a lot of side hugs type thing.
No, it's just
You know.
Yeah, I just think that they're just too, like, they're too nice to me. I don't want to say anything.
I know I could just say this, but I would hate for them to listen to this. I just don't think they've ever really connected in some kind of weird. It's a very weird thing
the
to
look at.
The
two of them or with
the
you?
Parents and her.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it's a very weird thing. I've never seen anything like it before because they're very cool and nice people.
Mm.
And they obviously love her and care about her and care about me. And they'll do anything for her. And I mean, her car broke down last week and they came and they're getting the car fixed and we're borrowing one of their cars. Like, they'll do anything. They're great parents. But
there's not a closeness.
Yeah. I mean, I know that sounds sad or whatever, but that's just kind of how it is right now.
I think it's reality. Yeah. I think it's reality with a lot of folks.
Yeah. And it's not a thing. And it's like he's helped me a lot to kind of take it less personally or like be less of a like grumpy, rebellious teenager about it and kind of be like, oh, you know, we're people and we don't have, I think it's just like, we're just different types of people.
Right.
And that's fine, but we're just not going to be able to connect on a level that I would say with like a friend that I'm choosing or something.
I feel that way about my folks too. And I talked to Melissa with my wife, Melissa, about it with her folks too. And it'll be harder to understand, you know, when we are the parents of adult kids, of just like, everyone's doing the best with what they got, you know. I mean, there's very few like bad parents who were just like, I didn't care, I didn't love you, I didn't try, I hated your existence. And even those ones usually had some circumstances that whether addiction or their own abuse or their own struggles. Yeah, I think that like that's a pretty healthy take towards your parents. It's like, you know, you are who you are. We had the child that we did. You're doing the best with what you have. And, you know, you want to do the comparison thing of like families that are so close, but I swear I have like five friends that are close with their adult parents. And I'm like, and then sometimes I see it and I was like, that's great. And then other times I'll see it and I'm like, I'm good. I don't need that. I got my own stuff going on. I don't need like a needy, really close emotional parent, you know?
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
Well, Steve, you mentioned you're going to the movies with your dad. How are things with you and your mom since her and God kicked you and the brother out?
Oh, they've been good. I feel kind of bad, but this is the best it's ever been. I suffered from one of those messed up things where I think I was mad at my mom for staying with my dad for so long and keeping us in an abusive situation, which, of course, like the older I've gotten and especially the more I understand what women go through, the more it's like, oh, geez, my mom was like terrorized in a way. And she didn't. If she could have left, she would have left.
Right.
She just didn't know how. So we're closer more all the time. Every couple of months, her and I hang out, and we'll talk for 4 or 5 mm-hmm. hours. And she's not the, even though I said she's a pretty hardcore Christian, she's pretty good at, like, it's almost like, you know, I change the way I talk. I talk the way where she'll understand me. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like she believes that I have a relationship with God still, which I would say I kind of do. I try to do what that thing in me tells me to do.
Yeah.
I used to call that thing the Holy Spirit. I don't call it that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, even more now, so you say that you're kind of thrown back into Christianity, to use your words, with the program.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what's so funny about the program is the program is like such a more hardcore version of Christianity, and it doesn't have anything to do with Christ. It's just like,
yeah.
Eventually, it's about making your life a life of service, and if you serve everyone, that God will take care of you, which is so bizarre to live as. I mean, I just haven't lived that way in so long, and especially like to try to do what we do in Hollywood. I'm like, dude, nobody thinks like this, where it's like you're not worried about anything, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm just supposed to serve my community and be good to people and spread the love of God.
No, I'm supposed to go to sleep every night in a panicky sweat.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the program teaches you, is that if you are of service to everybody, that God will take care of you. And that awakens something in me that I actually 1,000% believe. Mm. And I haven't not believed that. It's just a strange, I guess you just can't talk, you know, like Jesus talks about pearls to swine. I wouldn't talk to a lot of people like it. Mm. But I've built the chatterbox, and a lot of the things I've done is with the community in mind, with the open mic and everything, where I've never like, I just don't care. I mean, don't get me wrong. I want to make it, but I just don't care. Like, as long as I keep, my jokes keep growing, I keep growing as a person. I think it, without a doubt, I will be successful if that keeps being the case. But also, I mean, I just don't, I'm not on anybody's list. I've never had any kind of JFL like audition.
Oh, I don't think I've ever been on a list. Yeah. I'm with you on that. Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I mean, you guys all know I could like crush. I could crush though. Yeah. Right? So it's like, okay, as long as you know that.
Respect of your peers.
Yeah. Truly. Like, because comedy is like that, where it's like people, there are some fans, but generally we just do this for each other.
Right.
And for ourselves, so that I could be my most authentic self on stage and make people laugh and murder. Well, that's why we do what we do.
That was the original goal.
Yeah.
Before all the other noise came in.
Yeah.
You know? Well, and that's why people, I feel like, get so dissatisfied when they do become successful. If you don't do it the way that's just staying authentic to you. That's why, I mean, the examples that people use are always slightly problematic people now. So I'm not going to name names. But like the reason it takes a long time for people is because you are performing in that way. You're performing authentic to yourself. You're caring about what your peers think. You're doing that. Even if you do, when you were talking about that, what just made me think of is even just like being of service to yourself so you can be of service. So like the reason that you have to also take care of yourself and be a good comic and be a good example is also so you can service the community.
Right.
Like if you're not also being the best, you're not reaching your highest capabilities, then you're squandering talent that could be used in service to people.
Absolutely, yeah.
So it's not just like, oh, you can't also be, you know, famous in and of yourself or successful or whatever, but it's like, if it's not coming from that kind of place, then I think that it's just it'll peter out or just not, won't make you feel good.
Don't put
or
that light under a bowl, right, Steven?
Which, by the way, we cover this on my movie podcast, Views from the Vista, this week with Johnny Pemberton. We saw Free Solo. Have you seen it?
I haven't, no.
You gotta go see it. Yeah. I don't know if you could see it in time for IMAX or anything like that when you're on the road, but it's nominated for Academy Award for Best Documentary, but it's this guy who free climbs
rocks.
What's it called? Like, El Capitan, and so it's 3,000 feet. He climbs up with no
rope. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, but it's just about hiking, and it's so inspiring to me. Johnny and everyone on the podcast thought so, except for Honor, she hated it. But as an artist, this guy, he's like, I mean, he even makes good money. He's one of the best climbers. So he's like, I make as good money as like a good dentist.
Yeah.
But he's like, he doesn't. That's not why he does it. He's doing this, and nobody gives a crap about climate rocks.
No.
And nobody really gives a crap about comedy. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah.
I think once you've been doing this for 7 or 8 years, you realize real quick, Oh, nobody cares about how much you can murder in a room.
No. It's a job.
Or like the art form. What? Oh, edgy material you're talking about.
Yeah. Nobody cares. But you guys got to see Free Solo. I think it's pretty clean. I think he may curse one or two times,
I spend my nights in comedy clubs. Yeah.
But it's like wildly inspiring for artists. So sweet. It's awesome. And it's riveting. And they shot it in IMAX, so it's like scary as crap. So.
Yeah. I appreciate you guys both. I thank you guys so much for doing this, and let's go have a good show.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.